Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon on this Thursday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Why am I speaking like this, like a DJ on the radio? It's going to stay fine. That's what Dave told me. He doesn't work for Medairn, right? Like, they just produce the show, but he listens to the weather forecast and he says it's fine today. It's going to be fine till the weekend, which is good news. And we need all the good news we can get, don't we? We got this in. Is there a name on it? No, it doesn't seem to be a name on it. Dear Ray, I've been watching a lot of Married at First Sight Australia. Please don't judge me for my taste in telly. It's a pandemic. Right. And I've noticed that people keep saying things wrong and using the wrong adjectives to describe themselves. A few episodes ago, a man called Matthew kept going on about how he was a vivacious reader. He brought it up several times and I'm pretty sure he meant voracious and not vivacious. Then last night, one of the women was sharing her suspicions about someone and kept bringing up their interior motive instead of her ulterior motive. This seems to be increasingly common. Is there any that your listeners have heard recently? You have to be careful when you're, you know, pointing these things out, because he without sin cast the first stone. I think we're all guilty of this sort of thing at some stage in our lives. I like the idea of a vivacious reader, though. It's just somebody who's very vivacious about their reading, very over the top. So you could be a vivacious, voracious reader. And then, you know, an interior motive could be something you keep to yourself. It could be, you know, I suppose an ulterior motive. Yeah, I remember getting into a taxi years ago and there was the FA Cup final had just been on, or some big game anyway in the Premier League or the Premiership. And I said, were you watching the match? And your man goes, yeah, well, I'm a vivid Manchester United fan. See, vivid, yeah. I used to say espresso instead of espresso. I remember once, and you see, mine are more public than most people. Like the people on Married at First Sight Australia. I watched a bit of that. My word. Is that the way the human race is going? Anyway, that's another day's chat. But I remember being on years ago on the Den, and I was describing a dress that somebody was wearing. And actually, this ties in with something that happened yesterday. And I said, yeah, she was wearing a sequined dress. And the person that was saying it, you'll find that sequined. And I was completely indignant that this person would correct me on live television. Why didn't they leave it until afterwards? Anyway, I've never forgotten the fact that it's a sequined and not sequined dress, so maybe it was a good thing. And then I remember on Blackboard Jungle. Now, these are just a couple. There's been hundreds, I would imagine, over the last 30 years. So I'm just putting them out there so you might offer yours in. That's the way it works. 51551, ray@rte.ie. And I said to one of the teams, yeah, of course, geography is your Achilles tendon. And of course, the expression is your Achilles heel. Now, everyone knew what I meant, but it was the wrong use of the phrase. So, yeah, it's quite common. It's quite common. And as I'd say over and over again, as long as people know what you mean, because language is about communication. And if they understand what you're trying to say, that's, you know, is that not 99% of it? But it's a bit of a laugh. It's a bit of a laugh, isn't it? Yeah. I was mentioned in a thread. There you go. Mentioned in a thread. I've arrived. Mentioned it. There were people online were talking about mundane encounters with, now, and I use this word with half well-known people. That's not the word they use, but, you know, begins with C and ends in celebrity. But anyway, they're talking, this thread was talking about, anyway, this, what's your most mundane celebrity encounter? I once saw Eve Miles browsing the CD rack in HMV. There's literally no more to that story. And then Tom Malloy was on. This reminds me of the time I saw Ray Darcy browsing the CD racks in Tower Records in around 2005 when it was on Wicklow Street. It was also very mundane. Now, Tom, it's 16 years on and you still remember that. I think I remember you actually lurking in the background, trying to see what I was looking at in Tower Records. It was probably compilations of dance hits from 1992 or something like that. I was always looking for the definitive compilation of whatever. But that's good. The other thing that we forgot to mention the other day, but Emer McLysett, who has great fun on social media with threads, was talking about, you know, the two degrees of separation, how you know, are related to somebody or met somebody who met somebody else. Which is, and that was fun the other day as well. 51551 ray@rte.ie. The Guardian is good today. Just things you'd be interested in. You may not have heard about. Gwyneth Paltrow, Goop Girl, has got a telling off by the NHS. She was suggesting that people do certain type of fasting during the pandemic, and the chief of the NHS in the UK has said, no, you can't be given advice like that. So it's not the first time that health experts have called her out on some of her advice. And she probably says to them, go and get yourself a candle. You know the candles, yeah. The other thing that's in there that sort of caught my attention was advice from well-known people about how to get through lockdown. Now, Eddie Izzard is doing 31 marathons in 31 days, which is a huge achievement. And as she's doing them, she's talking to people and she's doing podcasts and she's doing Zoom calls. It takes her about 6.5 hours to do each marathon. Anyway, she was asked, what's your advice? Because, you know, when Eddie Izzard puts her mind to something, she achieves it. Like this, 31 marathon, 31 days. And he says, dial M for motivation. If you're not motivated, you won't do anything. If you are, you'll do lots, she says. This is probably the easiest one. If you want to do something healthy, put a date in your diary when you say you're going to go and do something. Tell everyone you're going to do it and then do it. And that's the thing. Just, you know, you need a bit of sort of pressure. That's it. You need a bit of outside pressure. So by telling everybody you're going to do it, that gives you that little bit of pressure, that little bit of push. You might have an internal motivation, but you need a bit of external push. So that's the advice from Eddie Izzard there, which I think is very good advice. You know, decide what you're going to do, put a date on it, tell everybody, then do it. There you go. Good advice. Now, 51551, people often write luxurious hair instead of luxuriant. Ah, yes. Your lovely luxurious hair. You vivacious reader, yeah, with your lovely luxurious hair. Did that person say they were using words wrong? Aha, they should say they were using them wrongly. Now we're getting into, that's different. That's different, you see. We're getting into grammar there and adjectives versus adverbs. I was paying attention that particular day. A hotel or an hotel? Hotel, motel, what are we going to do today? Well, that's pronunciation. That's different. That's a good one. Sorry, I've seen this. I'm laughing. The Heimlich remover. You see, you know what they mean. It is the Heimlich maneuver, but it is something that removes something. So it is sort of the Heimlich remover maneuver. A fellow used to work with me, and when he got paid, he used to say, the world is my lobster. Yeah, the world is your oyster, Paddy. But like, I never got that because a lobster is a more expensive fish. But anyway, I suppose the thing, the oyster opens up and, you know, there's a pearl inside, the world's your oyster. What gets me is Pacific as opposed to specific. Yeah, Fiona. You have to be more specific about that, Fiona. I don't understand what you're saying. Yeah, you see, I don't mind these things too much. And I know they get up people's noses and get on people's nerves. My mum is 95, but years ago when my dad was alive, she used to say she was receiving the infidelity pension instead of the invalidity pension. My dad, God rest him, would just smile and say, see what I've to put up with. That's great. The infidelity pension. I had a friend who once, when describing a hotel, he stayed in as the creme de menthe of hotels. I love these. Sorry, they're brightening up my day. And yeah, we need our days brightened, don't we? Of course, creme de la creme is what he meant to say, the creme de menthe. A mate of mine was watching a nature documentary about octopus and squid, and he thought it was fascinating how they use their testicles to catch their prey. There's a trick I'd like to see. That's great. 51551, ray@rte. Malapropisms, is that what they're called? See, I probably got that wrong. Now I'm going to become very self-conscious about what I say. I guess I got it wrong. Now, here. Yeah, quiz of today. Today, 25th of February. February has flown in, hasn't it? Like, Sunday's the 28th, which is the last day. Next Monday, the 1st of March. Anyway, back to today. And we've 10 questions we've cobbled together on events that have happened on this day over the years, decades, centuries. TV programmes, major news stories, scientific breakthroughs, births, deaths, songs and all that sort of thing. And we need two people to answer five questions each after 4 o'clock. Great prize this week comes from the K-Club. Each day's winner will get a two-night stay with breakfast on both mornings and dinner on one night in the Palmer, the resort's stylish new all-day dining venue. Today's winners have some pampering time in the award-winning K-Spa at the K-Club, choosing from a menu of indulgent treatments, from deep tissue massages to cutting-edge skin treatments. There are relaxing and rejuvenating options to suit everyone at the K-Spa. For more information, kclub.ie, kclub.ie. And if you want to come on, answer a few questions, have a bit of crack, you'll have to answer a qualifying question. Today, in which Irish province would you find the county of Roscommon? Which Irish county would you find the province of... Sorry, I'll start again. Which Irish province would you find the county of Roscommon? 1850 715 900. And speaking of questions and quizzes and all that sort of thing, Anne Hegarty, the governess from The Chase, is going to talk to us at about 4:15. And the mad thing was, she was on the telly before I came down. I'd say she's probably on a telly somewhere in the world most of the days, because that's such a hugely popular programme. It's been going since 2009. And they've made hundreds and hundreds of them over the years. So looking forward to talking to Anne. Final one of these. Pat O'Brien. Well, final for the moment, because I'm going to go to a song. From Sonny Killarney. The sun is shining on the floods. Regarding misuse of words, it's called malapropism. From Mrs. Malaprop, a humorous aunt in Richard Brinsley Sheridan's 1775 comedy of manners, The Rivals. Here are a few examples of Mrs. Malaprop's wit and wisdom. We will not anticipate the past. Our retrospection will now be able... Oh, all right, I'll start again. We will not anticipate the past. Our retrospection will now be all to the future. You see? The pineapple of politeness instead of the pinnacle of politeness. And she's as headstrong as an allegory on the banks of the Nile instead of an alligator on the banks of the Nile. That's from Pat O'Brien. Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Pat O'Brien. 5 on 551 ray at rte.ie. Good afternoon. Oh, that was cut off there very abruptly. Fill Your Heart, David Bowie from Hunky Dory. And I've just put that into the Google thing there. And believe it or not, well, I suppose you will believe it, Hunky Dory was released 50 years ago. 50 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. That's mad. That's crazy. Today, they're trying to encourage us to read. It's Ireland Reads Day. And they're asking people to squeeze in a read. Squeeze in a read. No, relax. Take your time and read, as opposed to squeezing it in. Surely we've time to read. I'm reading that Richard Osman, you know, the Thursday Murder Club, sold really well in the lead up to Christmas. And I thought, you know, hundreds of thousands of people who bought it can't be wrong. So I said I'd read it. It's very entertaining. It's like Murder, She Wrote. It's a bit like Murder, She Wrote. And he has a lightness of style, which makes it very readable. And I'm enjoying it. And it's a break from all the heavy non-fiction stuff that I read for work. And I enjoy that too. But I'm enjoying Richard Osman, so I'll be squeezing or relaxing into more than a few pages of that this evening. Now, 5 on 551, ray at rte.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray at rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, or 51551 for your texts. Now, we've all been pushed out of our comfort zones over the last while, and people are doing things that they never thought they'd do because of the pandemic and lockdown. Well, 67-year-old Padraig Howley from Kilfenora in County Clare has set up an Instagram account, and he's trying something different, and he has 10,000 followers already, and he's on the line. How are you doing, Padraig?
How are you, Ray? Are you well?
Good. Are you well?
Well, look, I'm not well at the moment, no. Someone told me 2 or 3 days ago I'd be live in the air to Ray Darcy. I'd tell him to go away and get himself looked after.
It's been a busy, like, a lot has happened in the last few days here, Padraig, hasn't it?
Just unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable, like, you know. I'm totally in shock. That's all I am. I'm in shock. You know, I never realised anything like this could happen.
Right. You know? So you better give us a bit of background then. It's your page or your Instagram is called Sing and Step, and with Padraig, and it's you trying to get healthier. Is that it?
Correct.
And why are you on this, let's use the J word, Padraig, why are you on this journey?
The reason I'm on the journey, Ray, is I have been suffering with pain. I'm suffering with pain for probably 10 or 12 months.
Right.
And I have gone everywhere and tried everything, and there was nothing working. So I have MRIs done, and I have ultrasounds done, and nothing showed up. And then, I just said to myself, is it my head that's wrong? Have I any pain at all? You know, and I'm self-employed. I'm a welder by trade. So in my business, you will have pain with, working hard.
Yes.
And not getting better, And then my wife told me, convinced me that I should go over to Kilrush, to an island for holistic. I couldn't go to her, so I got a hair sample and sent it over to her, and she rang me 5 days ago, she rang me, and she said, you have problems. Your problems, your left side is not functioning properly. You seem to be out of line, and you need to change your lifestyle.
Okay.
At 67, you
had... And she was able to tell you this from a strand of hair?
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you a better one. I had been with her once before, about 25 years ago. I had trouble with my shoulder, and I went over to her. And my wife convinced me to go over. So I went over anyhow, and I sat down with her, and she said, is there anything wrong with your shoulder and hand? I said, no. And then she came back after her
You have a really bad line. I tell you what we're going to do, Padraig. I've some of your Instagram posts here. We're going to play one of those and try and get you on a better line. So this is Padraig talking us through one of his meals.
Hey, everybody. We're coming to the day two, final end of it. I still go for a walk. And now what I have today is, I went in and bought ingredients to cook more stuff, but it ran too late for me. But my daughter picked up this for me, and it's... there's spinach in it, and there's tofu, and there's, I don't know what it is, and it is T-O-R-T-E-L-L-O-N, tortelloni, whatever it is. So you have to cook it for 3 minutes, and I'm so hungry now, I can hardly wait for 3 minutes. So here we go.
Ah, Padraig, we've lost Padraig. He's down in Kilfenora, and he has four posts, if that's what you call them, up on Instagram, and that's the tortellini post, and he does a soup post as well. It was a potato and leek soup he made. And I'm going to play that in as well, because you have to hear more of this man, Padraig Howley.
Good night, everybody. My name is Padraig Howley, and I'm sitting here in my kitchen in Kilfenora, County Clare. And I'm just going to have a beautiful bowl of soup. And I have a leek and a potato and an onion. And I haven't tasted yet, but I hope it's going to be lovely. I know it's too late now. I shouldn't be eating after 7 o'clock. I have been advised not to eat after 7 o'clock, and I've also been advised that I have to change my lifestyle. I'm making a very bad start today, but the reason that I'm so late tonight is I had to help out a man who has a lot of cows, and the little calves have been born, and I had to make pins for the calves, so that's why I'm so late. But tomorrow, hopefully, I'll be back on track. And thanks very much for all of you for following my page, and hopefully, we'll get on together. You'll help me and I'll help you.
There you are. And you're back, Padraig.
I'm back, yes.
That's great now. That's a great line. And your daughter, Emer, is the tech person, is she?
No, my daughter, Tara, is the tech person.
Oh, right. So how many daughters have you got?
I have three daughters. Yeah. I have Emer as the eldest girl. Shannon is the second one. And then I have Tara as the baby.
Right. And Tara's helping you out on this.
She's helping me out in this, because I'm the old doctor, Ray. I'm only learning, but I'm learning fast.
It's a bit like what Eddie Izzard said. You know, if you say something publicly, you're more likely to do it. Isn't that it? So you're going on Instagram, you're telling people what you're planning to do, and then you're doing it.
Yeah, that's what happened to you. When I decided to do this, I said to Tara, will you help me? And she said, you know what to do. She said, we'll go. I'll open you an Instagram page, that'll help you. Now, Ray, I had no idea what she was talking about. Now I know what she's talking about. 3 days later, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
people have taken years to build up a following of 10,000 on Instagram. And you're like that.
Yes, but... Yeah, that's what they said to me. You realise what's happening. And I said, I have no idea what's happening. Yeah. No idea whatsoever. you know, but it's just phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
And Padraig, you sing while you cook, which reminds me, I watched an amazing Italian woman. She must be in her, you're 67, she must be in her 60s as well, and she's a very popular YouTube channel. And she sings while she cooks as well.
Yes.
There's something to it. So what sort of songs do you sing while you're cooking?
I could sing any song, mostly ballads, like, you know what I mean? I just love the Tansy Brothers, so I have a lot of those songs, like, you know, I have a lot of the Dubliner songs and that, like, you know, and I just sing away. Sometimes I don't even know I'm singing, you know what I mean? But I just sing and hum away. You see, I work a lot of the time on my own, so when I'm working on my own, I'm singing as well. So I just love it.
Yeah.
It's passing away the time for me as well.
Right, will you give us just, you know, a verse and a chorus or something there?
Oh, God.
So go on, you might as well.
Okay. One pleasant evening in the month of June, as I was sitting with my lesson spoon, a small bird sat on an ivy bush, and the song he sang was the juggle's punch. Tooraloo-ra-loo, tooraloo-ra-lay, tooraloo-ra-loo, tooraloo-ra-lay. A small bird sat on an ivy bush, and the song he sang was the juggle's punch.
Hey. Hey, jugger punch, tura lura 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 lura. That's great. Where's it going? Where's it all going for you, Padraig, do you reckon?
Look, if I could lose a little bit of weight and if I could get rid of the pain, I'd be over the moon. You know what I mean? So that's what I want to do.
Yeah, and you've been to doctors. You've been to doctors.
I've been everywhere. Okay. I've you know, just at one stage, it was my head that was wrong.
Yeah.
I said, have I any pain at all? Because they all told me that all my vital organs were working perfectly. But then I started doing bits of swimming, and we joined the Snobby Saucer, Curtin.
Yeah.
And I love that, because I go into the water in pain in the morning, maybe at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I come out without pain, and to be gone for 3 or 4 hours.
Right.
You know, so that, you know, it was phenomenal. And this lockdown came now, we can't even do that, because we're outside the outside the limit,
I'm not an expert in any way, shape or form, Padraig, but I would recommend maybe in a couple of weeks you go back and seek more medical advice, But anyway, see how you get on, and we'll keep in touch with you.
Yes, of course, yeah.
You've brought a smile to our face today, Padraig Howley. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Lovely talking to you too. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
House prices are back in the news. Kieran Mulqueen is from Dublin. He runs an Instagram page called Crazy House Prices, where he shares the affordability problem with buying property in the capital. And he compares the price of houses in Dublin to the price of houses down in Roscommon or Longford or someplace like that. And he and his wife are still trying to get on the property ladder, and he's on the line now. How are you doing, Kieran?
I'm good, Ray. How are you?
Is it Kieran or Kieran?
Kieran.
Kieran, right.
Fada on the A.
Yes, yeah. Our computers don't have a fada, obviously. good to talk to you.
It's a tough act to follow. I won't do a song now because you'll probably lose all your listeners.
I'd say you have a song in you, though.
I don't, actually.
Do you not? No. I think we'll start with your own story first. What's your wife's name?
Melissa.
Melissa, right. Yourself and Melissa are both teachers. And both of you are from Dublin?
We are.
Right, okay. Right, we'll start there then. Maybe give us your age.
Yeah, well, I'm 34. Melissa is 32. So we've been kind of looking for the last around about 18 months, 2 years. And we live in Portobello. We're lucky that we live in the family home, in Melissa's family home. So I suppose when I was just looking around at properties, and especially looking around here, what kicked off the page was I saw this 6-foot-wide house in Long Lane. It's off Clanbrassil Street, and I was looking for €265,000. Now, I think it's still for sale. And I suppose the page just started off as a joke and just making fun of the property market. But then the joke got serious quite quickly when you realise, well, I'm stuck in this here in the middle of this at the moment, and everything is just so unaffordable.
Yeah, I was just looking at that, actually, your first post, 34 square metres, that property, 19A Long Lane. And my understanding is that when you're building an extension, if it's not more than one story, you can be 40 square metres, can't it? So that's how small that house was.
Tiny. So you wouldn't fit a bed in sideways.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so that is funny if you're not trying to get on the property ladder. And both of ye are people that are talked about an awful lot in the media because you're civil servants. You're on a certain wage. You're providing a service. You have to live near where you work. And yet you're completely unable to get on the property ladder. Give us an idea of the figures.
The figures of house prices in Dublin.
And then, you know, salaries, average house prices, and what you can borrow from the bank.
So I suppose on the page, I do kind of, as you said, comparison posts. But as a teacher, I suppose my main thing is education, and I do love helping people. So I just, along the journey, I'm trying to do as many helpful posts for people as I can. So one of them I did was all about median salaries rather than average, but the median is a bit more accurate in Dublin and in Ireland, and just comparing between Dublin and outside of Dublin, basically. So with the lending rules, you've got a 3.5 times of your gross income. That's all you can borrow unless you get an exemption. So in Ireland, the median salary in Ireland was these are figures from 2018 from the CSO website. So the median salary in Ireland was 36,000, and the median salary in Dublin was 39,000.
Right. Okay.
So that means as a single person, then you can borrow about 126,000 for people outside of Dublin, or 252,000 for a joint applicant. And then in Dublin, you're looking at about 138,000 and 276,000.
Okay. So a couple can borrow 276,000 if they're on the median, if both of them are on the median salary in Dublin. The average house price in Dublin is?
The median house price was in Dublin was 375,000, and the average house price was 441,000.
Okay, so it's an impossible situation for a lot of people.
Totally, and they're only going one way. They're only going up and up with during COVID and the complete lack of supply on the market.
Yeah, other places have subsidised or given people like yourself a sort of a city subsidy, so that if you're a teacher working in a city, I think Paris do it, maybe London do it as well, that you get extra because the cost of living in a city is higher than if you live in the country. Is that an idea?
It could be an idea. I would be of the opinion that you shouldn't have to subsidise a profession like that to be able to live where they want to live. Now, I'm not looking for a mansion in Rathgar, but people should be able to live in and around where their family are from and in and around where they're working. So I think the better idea would be to put in some kind of policies to help with supply on the housing market rather than subsidising salaries, because the money could be better spent, I think.
Yeah, well, there's been numerous plans over the last few years, and they've said that they've planned to build 20,000 or whatever houses. They're saying that COVID has interfered with that. It's interfered with a lot of things, and you have to take them on their word on that one. But will it not be a perennial problem for people like yourself in Dublin if they want to live near where they work?
Yeah, it is if prices keep going the way they are. And that's my worry. Where are teachers going to live? And myself and Melissa, we're not special. There are thousands of people in the same position we are. And in fact, we're probably in a much better off position because we're not stuck in a rental trap. But where will nurses live? Where will people that work in coffee shops live? Where will people that work in restaurants and bars and supermarkets and students?
Yeah.
Where are they all going to live? That's my worry.
What generation Dub are you?
I don't know, multiple generations.
Yes, and you want to live in Dublin. You haven't considered moving away, moving down the country, or commuting.
No,
and that.
And that's something that people say a lot. You know, can you not just move to here or there? But no, we shouldn't really have to. And I'm not looking to live in Balls Bridge or anything like that, or live in a mansion. But it's just, you need to be able to live, like this idea of a 15-minute city. You should be able to live within 15 minutes on public transport or on a bike to be able to get in and around where you need to be.
And you're critical of Dublin, and not just on its city status. You say it's a large town. How does it compare to places like Manhattan or London when it comes to property prices?
London, the UK is kind of in probably even in a worse position than we are because of some of the schemes that their government have brought in, like the shared equity scheme over there has driven up prices and all of that. So they're probably worse, but that's the route we're going down if we continue to go the way we are, that people will just get priced out of the city and will have to live an hour and a half commute.
So you don't agree with the shared equity scheme where the government give you a loan and they own a bit of the property?
No, that's a demand side scheme and our issue is supply.
Right.
So I'd be far more interested in like a vacant site scheme where, you know, they could prioritise these and give VAT incentives and all of that to try and focus on getting, because there are 35,000 to 40,000 vacant properties all around Dublin. So that's a massive supply that could really put a huge dent in the crisis.
But people have been saying that for the last 5 or 6 years, haven't they? You know, people, for example, who are in nursing homes and or, you know, in the Fair Deal scheme, that they're not occupied at the moment, that they should do something to free them up. So tell us about you and Melissa then and what you've looked at and what has happened. Are your standards too high? I know that even as I say it, that sounds pretty S-H-I-T-E, but, you know, do you have to lower your standards?
I don't think our standards are that high. Like, suppose the issue that myself and Melissa and thousands of other people find themselves in is that, like, with the prices the way they are, it tends to delay your life plans, you know? So we're at an age now where we can't buy a little one bed because we'll already be grown out of it. So we're not looking for anything massive, but just a standard kind of 2 or 3 bed with a little bit of a garden that everybody wants now with COVID.
Yeah.
And we've bid on a good few places, but tend to be getting outbid at the moment. And
who do you think is outbidding you, Ciarán? What type of people?
I suppose it's not just me, but I get hundreds of messages a day in on the Instagram. So I think I've kind of become a bit of an agony uncle to people that are in our position. And they, from what they're coming across, so anything I come across is just anecdotal, but from like a survey of what other people are coming across rather than just me is a lot of people just getting outbid. You don't know whether they're being outbid by an investor, whether they're just being outbid by somebody who is getting financial help, maybe from parents or whatever. You just don't know. But also people are panicking at the moment and with supply being so low.
Yeah, and that's what
they're spending a lot of money.
That thing is hugely important, isn't it? Where your life's been put on pause. Like the things that we assumed we would do. You know, you reach a certain age, you go to college or whatever, third level, then you meet somebody, you fall in love, you have your wild years, then you say, okay, we're going to spend the rest of our lives together and let's buy a house. And that's, you know, somewhere in your 30s. And then whatever follows on from that, if you want to have a family, blah, blah, blah. But for loads, a whole generation now, that's been interrupted.
Yeah. And that's what I'm getting in on the page a lot is people in the same position. And I think maybe they just relate to me in that aspect. And that's why the page has grown so big, is that there are so many people in that position. And it's really tough. It's really difficult.
Yeah. Have you spoken to the Minister for Housing?
I did. I was actually on a call with Dara Bryan about 2 weeks ago. And we just spoke about a few things. It was very kind of him to give me a call. He didn't need to. And I spoke to him for about 45, 50 minutes and just discussing everything that's kind of going on at the moment in the Dáil with the Land Development Agency, the shared equity scheme. But he was great to give me a call. Now, I didn't leave the call with much more hope than I had in. I'm just trying to rather than just moaning about it on the page, I'm trying to actually do something about it and contact people and maybe just get people motivated to, you know, email your TD or talk to people about it. Let them know the position you're in. And
it's a slow process, though, building and buying houses. And, you know, it's not something you can go out and do a mass protest one day and then it's fixed, you know, in a week. That's not the way it happens. And it's been talked about forever and ever. So I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah. And I suppose that's why I'm kind of fairly passionate about the vacant homes thing, and I know you spoke about the Fair Deal, but like that would be a smaller percentage of all the vacant ones. Like,
so what about the other ones? Why are they vacant?
Well, a lot of say apartments are vacant because, let's say, 95% of all apartments last year were bought by build to let. So these are foreign investment, real estate investment trusts that come in and they buy up thousands and thousands of apartments in one go. And they may sit 40, 50, 60% of them vacant because the rents are so high, but they don't want to lower the rents down because they'll have to lower them all down. And then it's with the rent cap,
they'll flood the market if they.
So they're able to manufacture the rents in the entire market. So I think a simple solution would just be to put a tax on them. Like there was an exemption brought in 2014 to try and stimulate foreign investment back into the housing market after the last crash. But the carrot on the stick thing, but I suppose they have now taken the carrot all of the carrots.
Yes. Yeah. So you're primary school, are you, or secondary school?
Primary school, fourth class.
Right.
And Melissa is junior infants.
And how's that going? How are you doing the Zoom calls or the Seesaw or the Teams or whatever you're doing?
Yeah, we're on Zoom. I'm on Zoom every morning and Melissa is doing pre-recorded, obviously with 4 and 5 year olds. It's a little bit tough to do live stuff, but she's back in now on Monday.
Yeah,
she's out in Lucan East. So she's very excited. So that's great. And then we'll be back in on the 15th.
Just to draw people's attention to the Instagram crazy house prices, and that's where it all started. So, and that is the thing. Like when you drive down the country and you see a 5-bed detached house on a 1/2 acre of land, and you put it into Google and you see it's on sale for what, 250 or 300 grand, and then you have to go back to your Dublin home and it's a smaller thing, But that's always going to be the way, isn't it?
It is, yeah, as long as there's such a demand for cities. So I think even we're finding now that prices are even going up in more rural areas now that people are working from home a little bit more.
Yeah.
But cities will always be in demand and will obviously
That might ease the pressure. That might ease the pressure. You know, when the pandemic's over, and if a number of people, a good percentage of people who used to work in the city now work from home, that's going to ease the pressure on the property market, won't it?
Hopefully, yeah. That's the hope. We'll see how it goes.
And somebody like you and Melissa could be competing with an executive from a big tech company, couldn't you? When it comes to bidding, that's a problem, but that's the reality of life.
That's a huge problem. And what I'm noticing as well is that those people have so much cash, so they will buy a house and they will pump a load of money into fixing it up as well. And actually, what they spend on the house won't be what the house is worth. Even by the end of it, but they're willing to do that. And like you see it happening a lot around in Portobello, it's a lot of the tech companies, or not the tech companies, but people working in them on a huge salary.
Yeah. It's impossible for you and Melissa to compete against them and nurses and guards and other teachers and all that. I don't know what the answer is, but at some stage in the future, our politicians are going to have to sort it out. Ciarán, thanks so much for chatting to us today. Ciarán Mulqueen, crazy house prices there. You've over 20,000. Padraig Howley is catching up on you very quickly. He's only been on Instagram for 4 days, Ciarán.
I know. I'll have to start doing a few dances and a few songs.
Yeah. Great talking to you, Ciarán. Mind yourself.
Thanks, Ray.
See you. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
5 on 551. Anne Hegarty, the governess from The Chase. Hello. Is on the line. How are you doing, Anne?
I'm fine, how are you?
Good to talk to you again. We had you on the TV show when you came out of the jungle.
That's right, yes.
Is that a sort of a distant memory now?
No, I do remember it. Didn't I meet Stephen Travers from the Miami Show Band?
You did indeed.
That's my main recollection of
it. He was on that night. Yeah, there you go. Well remembered, you. So are you in the middle of filming at the moment?
We're going to be filming in the next few days. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to tell you, but I will tell you. We're actually doing yet another series of Beat the Chasers.
Oh, brilliant. Love that.
Which will be exciting. I don't know when it's going to be shown, but we're doing that.
Yeah. How many episodes have you been in? Do you know?
Oh, my goodness, I've lost track. We had our 1,000th episode several years ago.
Yeah.
We must be at 1,500, maybe heading towards 2,000. How many I've done, I could not tell you. I've never counted.
See, I thought as a quizzer, you would have that off the top of your head.
No, this is the sort of thing that my colleague the Beast knows.
Uh-huh.
He's a maths teacher and he keeps the stats.
Okay.
So he keeps an eye on things like that. I just kind of turn up and do what I'm told, basically.
Yeah. How's our man doing? The Irish...
young Mr. Ennis.
Yes.
He seems to be doing fine. He's getting the ratings up superbly.
Is he?
I mean, our ratings have... Gosh, they must have gone up by about a million since he joined. I think a lot of that is people curious to see if it's going to be the new guy or not.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah.
And we were doing some training this morning with all the chasers on a Zoom link, and he was doing great. He was doing fine, so we don't have any concerns about him.
Okay, and would there be competition now between, you know, Dara and you and the others? Is there?
Well,
healthy?
We're always, how should we put it? Nobody wants to be the weakest chaser,
right?
So we're always kind of working on it. You know, Paul, for example, is probably the best and fastest of us at the moment. You know, he'd be quite proud of that. But at the same time, as the Beast puts it, chasers hunt as a pack. So, you know, we support each other,
yeah.
And we defend each other. And if someone says, oh, so-and-so is the weakest chaser, we'll always jump in and say, this is what so-and-so is particularly good at. Because it's just natural to us to defend each other.
Yeah, your name has been mentioned with regard to presenting Mastermind.
Yeah, I think somebody may have been joking. I mean,
right.
Certainly nobody has actually contacted me about that.
But you did present a quiz show, didn't you? I remember seeing it.
Well, I still do.
Britain's
Brightest Family,
yes.
Which has morphed into Britain's Brightest Celebrity Family.
Right.
Which, obviously, I hope is coming back. We do have another series of that in the can. I don't know when it'll be shown, but I hope people will enjoy it when it is shown. I don't really know. There'll be time for me to do Mastermind. I think it's a series of Mastermind is much longer than a series of Britain's Brightest Celebrity Family.
Right.
It'd be brilliant, obviously. I'd be really honoured. But the thing is, there are a lot of very good, very experienced presenters in the frame. And I think the two front runners now are Samira Ahmed and Michelle Hussein. And it'll probably be one of them.
And it'll be the first woman to present Mastermind, which is brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure they will go for a woman. And like I say, there are some really good ones out there.
Yeah. And I remember when we had the chat on telly, like things weren't going that well for you before you got the job on The Chase.
Yeah, they weren't. I mean, you know, this is touch wood. This is kind of all in the past now.
Yeah.
But I was not having a great time. I was quite good at proofreading. I was not good at keeping on top of the paperwork. Which was causing problems.
Right.
I was just having real difficulty prioritising things and losing clients because of that.
Okay. You still do quizzes yourself, and I believe you're on some quiz team in America, are you, that does Zoom quizzes?
Yeah, I'm currently quizzing with three teams.
Okay.
Over the course of every week. And one of those teams consists largely of Americans. So there's always this kind of trying to figure out exactly what time we're going to play.
Oh, yeah.
everyone having to remember that I'm like 5 hours ahead of them.
Yeah.
So we can't play too late because it's going to be like the middle of the night for me and I may have an early start the next morning.
Yeah.
Yes, it is fun. Americans don't quite have the sort of quizzing culture that we have.
They don't have the sort of the pub quiz sort of thing as opposed to the TV quiz.
They have pub quizzes, which they call bar trivia,
right.
But they're not used to having quiz leagues. So they're not used to a quiz that happens at the same time every week, you know, and you will be there and you will organise things around being there.
Yeah.
There's always this sort of, well, you know, when can we all fit it in? Rather than, okay, this is when the quiz is, where do we fit everything else in, which is how the British think.
Yeah. And of course, like in the first lockdown, the Zoom quiz became huge. Everybody was doing it. Saturday night
Absolutely.
Was quiz night. Yeah, yeah.
It's been brilliant.
Yeah, if I went on to a Zoom quiz and then I saw you, I would just go, good luck. good luck. I'll be a spectator tonight. Thank you very much.
I am beatable. Certainly, you know, it depends on the format. I mean, I'm not a quick quizzer. I can generally be beaten on the buzzer.
Aha, right.
So,
Yeah.
Excuse me, I don't know why I'm yawning. You're not boring me or anything.
No, 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 no. It was one of those American quizzes last night. Go on. Yeah, sorry.
Certain kinds of quizzes that quite a lot of people would be able to beat me on. If I'm on the buzzer and I'm on my own, not with a team, I wouldn't actually fancy my chances unless all the other contestants were actually just not very good.
Yeah. People are always trying to catch out, I'd imagine, as well. Remember that time when we were out and about? But you actually like lockdown because you're not a big fan of going out.
Well, yes, I am sort of quite introverted. I'm actually, you know, absolutely fine just kind of staying home and pottering around and doing things at home and getting on with stuff.
Right.
You know, that absolutely suits me. I'm just sort of aware that most people aren't suited by that.
No.
So everybody else wants to get out of lockdown. So I'm sort of trying to be sympathetic to that.
Yeah, but it's suiting you, and that's fine. As they say in America, that's your truth.
Well, yes, yes.
So I tell you what, because we did it with Paul when he was on with us, we've a few questions here. They're all Irish related. See how you get on. It's not, you know, it's just a bit of a laugh. Let's get a bit of, there you go. There's the, I don't know whose music that is, but we've robbed it. right. Anne Hegarty, the governess, questions on Ireland. Let's see how you do. Can you name the second biggest city in Ireland?
Yeah, that's Cork.
Correct. What day does St. Patrick's Day?
March 17th.
Yeah, what loch in Northern Ireland is the largest in Ireland?
Oh, I get these ones mixed up. Is it Loch Nay?
It is. Are these too easy for you?
No.
Okay, who was the first woman president of Ireland?
One of the Marys. Yes. Mary Robinson.
Is correct. What are the colours on the flag of the Republic of Ireland?
Green, white and orange.
Is the correct answer, yes. A clean sheet. Well done. That's very good. Congratulations.
Well, my name is Hegarty. I mean, I'm not completely unacquainted with Ireland.
And the prize, Anne, is a Ray Darcy Show mug, which is in the post to you.
Oh, brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
And listen, thanks for taking time out to talk to us and continued success with The Chase.
Thank you very much.
I believe it's ITV's most successful quiz show ever in the history of quiz shows.
So, I think it is, as things have worked out, yeah.
Yeah, so well done. Thanks, Anne. Mind yourself. Stay safe. Bye now. Bye.
Thank
you. Nish Toshinam, the Free Skelton, the Noctil, and Marini Hulawan. Gramagud, thank you very much. Sorry, I had the quiz bed still going there. That was in the middle of that. 51551 ray at rt.ie. Anne has Irish heritage, says Patrick. She mentioned that. Love The Chase, my favourite TV show, says Aina. How are you doing, Aina? And on Holmes. We were speaking to Ciarán there. Tell Ciarán and his partner that we will welcome them with open arms. They don't know what they're missing. Dublin doorstep and country living. The Rebuilding Ireland home loan scheme offers up to 5 times salary of people looking to get onto property ladder. €320 max mortgage, rihl.ie. The scheme also operates in Dublin. Regards, and that's from Brian O'Gorman, Kildare County Council. So that's something to consider, moving to Kildare, rihl.ie. So it's the Rebuilding Ireland Home Loan Scheme. So details of that. Thanks for that, Brian. And I'm sick to the teeth of people from outside Dublin saying, why don't you buy outside Dublin? Why do we have to move away from friends, family and support networks? Whole communities are being lost and pushed away from the city because of gentrification. It's lunacy. This is not the Ireland any of us should want. And you're right. I completely agree with you. I think if we build a lot of city council houses and apartments, the price will become more reasonable, says Philip. And Anne and Carla says, we rented for 11 years, got our own house finally in 2019. We got no help from family and had 2 children. So getting a mortgage was harder. We ended up buying in Carlow town. Yes, we commute, but it's worth it to have our own place, says Anne. And in London, NHS nurses and teachers can apply to get half of their mortgage paid for so that London can hold on to its nurses and teachers, makes it very affordable and a huge incentive to stay in London. Has been like that for many years now. So that's what I was referring to. That's the detail of it. And on Padraig Howley, the Howley family is very musical, terrific and talented musicians, says that person in the figure. Kevin says, I figure about 200,000 people were singing with Padraig as he was singing Jug of Punch, Tura Lura Lura. And what else there? Oh yeah, the words. We'll get to a few of those. I was a nurse in a family planning clinic. Young couple, earnest young man, said that they wanted to use the diagram as opposed to diaphragm. Well, maybe he needed a diagram to use the diaphragm. A taxi driver was driving past the statues of the famine people getting the boat, and he said, God help them, they were emancipated. He meant emaciated, yeah. We didn't enlighten them, says Sheila. And a woman was telling me about a fabulous house she had just visited, saying there were gondoliers hanging in every room. Chandeliers, yes. Thanks, Therese. And I remember telling a hairdresser I was learning to swim, and she said she'd never swim in a pool because she hated the chloroform. Imagine swimming in a pool with chloroform in the water. And a friend, a friend's wife was over to a baby, and the dad-to-be told us she was going into hospital to be seduced the next day. Well, that had happened. Yeah. My mum used to call a workaholic a work alcoholic, you see, yeah, well, that's understandable. All these are sort of very understandable. My best malapropism, I once overheard a woman telling her friend that her daughter had had a sectarian section. Cesarean section. That's Trish. How are you, Trish, in Dunmore East? And we had a road to domestic moment. Very good. And as I say, he without sin cast the first stone. Years ago, while trying to get a brother of mine to help him in the garden, my dad asked, could you not do something destructive with your time? And he meant constructive, he did. An old football coach used to say, don't make me the scapegoat. He was like three sheeps in the wind. I like those. There's a book in that. Well, there's a page in it, maybe not a book. Press the button, see how we go. Here we are. Yes. It's time for our quiz of today. 25th of February. Prize, two nights in the K Club. And breakfast and dinner in the Palmer. The resort's stylish new all dining venue. And loads of things to do there. And they have a spa, and you can go fishing, and you can go horse riding, you can play golf in a simulator. And you can find out more at kclub.ie. Micheál Moran is on the line. How you doing, Micheál?
I'm not too bad at all, Ray.
Where did I put your details? Here they are. Here they are. Sligo Town is where you are.
That's it, Ray, yeah.
Yeah, and what are you up to today, Micheál?
I'm just minding the grandchildren, Ray.
Right. How many?
Just minding the grandchildren, taking it easy.
Yeah. Nice thing to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What ages are they and how many are there?
Well, there's two, Ray. Callum is 2.5.
Yeah.
Kai is 7.
Uh-huh.
And I have to mention Aoife, the mother. Aoife, I won't give her her age, Ray.
Okay.
She's 20-ish. She had a big birthday in October.
Right, right.
Zero is involved.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Now, you've given too much away there. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. How has the whole lockdown been for the family?
Well, absolutely, like everyone else, Ray, it's not easy.
Yeah.
But I think we have to abide exactly what we're told to do. A lot of people, everybody in the country, Ray, is getting frustrated. But, you know, we've put so much into it now. We have to stay the pace. We have to stay together on it. And if everyone does exactly what they're told, Ray, we'll get through this.
We will, you're right.
We will get through. There is light at the end of the tunnel. As sure as it's beautiful here in Sligo with the sun shining, Ray, and sure it's beautiful there in Dublin.
It is.
And, you know,
we'll get through
things are ahead, Ray.
Yeah, they are. You're dead right. Dead right.
Absolutely.
Micheál, thanks for that. You're up against Laura Colfer, who's in Rathfarnham in Dublin. How are you doing, Laura?
Hi, Ray. How are you keeping?
Good. Are you anything to Owen Colfer?
I'm not, unfortunately. No, right. I'm not.
You
no.
don't? It's a Wexford name, is it, Colfer?
Yes, I believe it is, actually, yes. It's
yeah.
my husband's name, but he doesn't have any family connections to Wexford.
Does he not? No, no,
aware,
maybe
no.
It goes back a few generations. Yeah.
Yes, I'd say so.
Yeah, and you're WFH, working from home.
Working from home, Ray, doing my best anyway, you know. It's getting tougher and tougher, I find, as the time's gone by. But the only thing is, I can't complain because I have a job, so
yes.
I certainly wouldn't. It would be kind of very insensitive to say anything other than
yes,
that at
yeah.
the moment, you know.
And big news in your house, yourself and the hubby have got a...
a new puppy called Henry.
Henry,
he's 5 months old now, and God, we have been...
Oh.
He was on our bucket list for a long time, and then with working from home and everything, like a lot of people, every second person seems to have a pup who
yes.
out. But the best thing about getting him is, as I was telling Neil on the phone earlier,
He's getting us out. He's getting us up early in the morning.
Yes.
And we're also getting to talk to so many people when we're out for a walk. It actually really helped us psychologically getting him.
Yes, yeah. There's a sort of a triangulation with dogs, isn't there? So you have
Definitely.
The dog and then people look at the dog first. And then
exactly.
then they start the chat with you. You know, it's
absolutely. And you're nearly learning now who will maybe say hello to you and who to kind of pull your dog away from, because not every dog owner wants people stopping to talk to them
or their dogs,
you know, saying hello. So you're nearly kind of adopting that kind of
And what breed
success.
Is it, Laura?
Well, he's a mix. His mother was a Shih Tzu and his father is a big black and white collie. So he's kind of getting very big. So I think he's favouring his father, actually, because he's big paws.
Right.
So God knows what size he'll end up being, but he's very cute.
So he's a Shih Tzu collie.
Yeah, exactly. An unusual mix.
And would he be called a Sholly now? Or
yeah. But you know something, every kind of mixed breed now seems to have a name.
Don't
so
they?
We have
yes.
to come up with one.
Have
we have to be very careful, though. You
do.
Know,
you do.
With the shit part of the shit too.
Right, so right. Okay, well, enjoy. It's great that you're getting out, and Henry's obviously a welcome addition to the house and the family.
He is really.
Okay, Micheál versus Laura, Sligo versus Rathfarnham. Good luck to you both, and here we go.
Good luck, Laura.
Good luck, Micheál.
Okay, Micheál, first question for you. On this day in 1951, the first Pan American Games opened in Buenos Aires. Buenos Aires is the capital city of which South American country?
That would be Argentina.
Correct answer. Laura, on this day in 1968, 430 couples from the Unification Church married in Seoul. Seoul is the capital city of which Asian country?
Korea.
I take
South
that.
South Korea.
Yeah, I take that. Yeah, South Korea is the correct answer. Micheál, second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off. You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Yeah, love that. On this day in 2007, at the 79th Academy Awards, that actor, also a director, was nominated for a Best Director Award. You heard him there in Dirty Harry. Who is he?
That would be Make My Day, Ray. That would be
yes,
Clint Eastwood.
It would. Yes, yeah. You made my day. Laura, have a listen to this.
The point is, ladies and gentlemen, that greed, for lack of a better word, is good. Greed is right. Greed works.
There you go. On this day in 2001, at the 54th BAFTAs, that actor was nominated for a Best Actor Award. You heard him there in Wall Street. Can you name him?
Michael Douglas,
correct it. Yeah, there he is as Gecko there. Well done.
Yeah.
Micheál, question number three for you. On this day in 1841, Pierre-Auguste Renoir, impressionist painter and sculptor, was born. What nationality was Renoir? French or Spanish?
French or Spanish?
Yeah, Renoir.
Renoir. French?
Yeah, yeah. Sort of French. Yeah, it was. Correct answer. You're on three. Laura, on this day in 1873, Enrico Caruso, famous operatic tenor, was born. What nationality was Caruso? Was he Austrian or Italian?
Italian?
Yeah, Italian is correct answer. 3-3. Micheál, question number four is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
At night I wake up with the sheets soaking wet and a freight train running through the middle of my head. Only you can cool my desire. Ooh, I'm on fire.
Great song. On this day in 1988, that singer's Tunnel of Love tour began in Massachusetts. Can you name him?
That will be Bruce Springsteen,
right? It would be Bruce Springsteen. I like the way you answer your questions, Micheál. Right,
thank
Laura.
You.
Laura, have a listen to this.
I'd rather be home feeling blue. So I'm saving all my love for you.
On this day in 1986, at the 28th Grammy Awards, that singer won Best Vocal Performance for that song, Saving All My Love for You. Can you name her? Laura.
Oh God, saving all my love for you.
Thanks.
Oh no.
No. Do you want to guess?
Whitney Easton?
No. Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Whitney Houston. Unlucky,
okay.
Yeah. Okay, now it's not over, Laura. If Micheál okay. gets his final oh. question incorrect and you get your final question correct, then we're into a tiebreak situation. Micheál, get this one right and you're today's winner. Good luck with this. Here we go.
On
this day in 1920, Prince Louis of Liechtenstein died at the age of 73. Liechtenstein is one of the smallest countries in Europe, but what's the population of Liechtenstein? Is it 38,000, 58,000 or 78,000?
Liechtenstein.
I need an answer from you.
I go with 58,000.
You're saying 58,000. The correct answer is 38,000.
Ah, right.
Yeah, okay. Now it's getting interesting, isn't it?
Oh, God.
Laura. Yeah. You probably would have preferred he got it, so you didn't, no pressure on you. You just okay, get this right. We're into a tiebreak situation. Laura, good luck. On this day in 1912, Marie Adelaide became the first reigning Grand Duchess of Luxembourg. Now, Luxembourg is also a small country. What's the population of Luxembourg? Is it 425,000, 625,000 or 825,000? Say again?
625,000,
the middle one, is the correct answer.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, oh there you go. They're always guesses, those ones at the end, aren't they? But that's...
Oh, my God.
They all count. Right, Micheál Moran and Laura Colfer, we're into a tiebreak situation. So we asked you this question before you went on air. And if you can remember your guesses, it would be great. On this day in 1952, Joey Dunlop, motorcycle racer, was born in Armoy in County Antrim. According to Google Maps, how long would it take to cycle from Armoy to Athlone in County Westmeath? And we need your answer in hours and minutes. So your guess, Micheál, was?
Yes, 7 hours, 35 minutes, Ray.
Okay. I can tell you now it was 260 kilometres. And Laura, your guess was? 12 hours and 50 minutes, yes, I have it in front of me. So 7 hours, 35 minutes, 12 hours and 50 minutes. The correct answer, Armoy to Athlone, on a bike, according to Google Maps, 13 hours and 48 minutes.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, right. My God.
Micheál, it looked like you had it there. It looked like you had it.
Yeah. Absolutely, right. Absolutely. So, congratulations,
sir. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Micheál. Yeah. I'm really sorry we both couldn't do one with Micheál, but
that's the way it is.
Enjoy your coffee out of your mug.
Yeah, and yeah. And you remember that Liechtenstein has a population of 38,000, Micheál.
Absolutely.
And as Laura said, there's a Radar Show mug on its way to you. Great talk to you, Micheál. Mind yourself and the family.
Can I just mention one thing,
Yeah.
My son, he was 35 yesterday in Cranmore, in Sligo. Keith, and I have to remember to mention the grandchildren, Callie, Eli, Harley. That's the three grandchildren.
Okay, brilliant. Brilliant. Okay, and, happy birthday, Keith. Thanks, Micheál. Mind yourself. See
you.
Bye,
much.
Bye, bye.
Thank you, Ray. All the best. Bye.
Laura Colfer. Well done, Laura.
Thank you.
You're off to the K-Club, and if you want to get excited about the whole thing, you can go to kclub.ie and see all the activities that are on offer there, and you might choose one of them. Okay. Well done, Laura.
Thank you so
Mind
much.
Yourself. Enjoy Henry.
Thank you.
See you. Bye, bye.
Thanks
bye,
a million.
Bye.
The
Ray Darcy bye. Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Look at the time. Now, Alison Keaton, psychologist, is on the line. How are you doing, Alison? No.
Ray, I'm good, how are you, Ray?
You're good, yeah. There's a long delay there. Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst, is on the line. Hello, Ray.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Okay. It's not going to matter too much because I got a handwritten letter into the office yesterday addressed to me, and I want your opinion on it. So I'll read this, have a listen to it, and tell me what you think afterwards. Okay, dear Ray, I'm sending you this. I hope to hear it read out. It would feel good to have it aired, literally. I'm living with my husband for 35 years with our now teenage children. I spend most of my time now with his words running through my head. A heaviness in my chest as if I feel I have PTSD. I don't trust him. There's no intimacy, fun, tenderness, friendship. I really liked and respected him. Now, I do love him, but do not like him. I know he's a good man, but he's not a nice man. For the last 15 years, he has brought home every work stress, worry, disappointment, fear, health concern, whether real or imagined. He has shared and revisited many, many instances in our past of negative slights, losses. I don't listen anymore because I don't want to hear the anger, rage, rant, opinion, growl. This means I miss out on some positives of our family together, but it also means I don't hear the negative. He concentrates on the negative. Fear of ill health, job loss, injustices, politics, confrontation, lazy people and disappointment, everything. I know he's under stress in his work, but it has been this way forever. He has no supports and has refused to seek out support, as I've begged him to do. I don't act as a support, as his support anymore, because he would just roar and rant at me, and I become the problem. He has no friends, family network, no friends from college or school, despite the fact we are back living in his hometown. No close relationship and none with me anymore, because he would turn on me and my family. I don't trust him now. I'm tired of his anger, so tired. I actually have no memory now of our good times together. They are overtaken now by years of shite, venom, vicious comments, vindictive things he has said without almost thinking. We haven't kissed in years, much less had sex, because how can you be close with someone who would roar at you, mutter nasty things and misremember things to reflect badly on me? He once accused me of not wanting to spend a summer with our youngest, of wanting to get rid of them. I was shocked at how he believed that. I dread when my children leave home because I do not want to grow old with them. That makes my blood run cold. There is no physical violence in our relationship. I've always thought of it as a verbal violence, and it has taken a huge toll on our marriage and relationship, destroying it, shredding it, and left a constant soundtrack in my mind and been a poor role model for our children. A good man, not a nice man. I am flat. So, Ray, I'll go to you first on that one.
First of all, Ray, I just want to really thank that listener for writing in. It is just, it's such an important letter. It's really important that she have written this and that we listen to this. Unfortunately, it isn't going to change unless you change. And so by actually writing this letter, she has taken the first step of kind of going, I deserve better. I deserve more. Your husband clearly deserves more and better, but he's not interested. He's too negative. When somebody else is drowning, we can't jump into the water with them or they'll pull us down in their own despair. She's reached for a lifeline by writing this letter. I hope she reaches forward either to a good friend or a professional, but someone that has her back, that listens to her and tells her what she deserves.
Alison?
Yeah, I agree with Ray. And just there were quite a lot of red flags. I mean, that she recognises that she feels that she has PTSD. That she recognises the pattern of behaviour whereby he misremembers things and somehow she seems to be the one in the wrong. That is very worrying, and it sounds like gaslighting. You know, when you know before you've even opened your mouth how someone's going to somehow blame you, you know, obviously she's disengaged with him. And, you know, I think we undermine when she says verbal violence. I mean, when we look at, you know, domestic abuse, it isn't just physical. We can have verbal, emotional and mental abuse as well. And of course, sexual abuse. I would suggest, you know, making a phone call to Women's Aid just to have a conversation with someone, because as Ray is saying, you know, by writing in, it's the first step. It would be good to talk to somebody who has, you know, specifically listened to stories like this day in and day out. And unfortunately, with lockdown, you know, situations with domestic abuse, which is verbal as well, have skyrocketed. So I would suggest that she take the next step and make a call to Women's Aid.
Is there any possibility that this man is depressed?
Like, as Ray said, yes. But it's very important to recognise that, you know, in mental health, people can be depressed, but it doesn't mean we have to stay in destructive relationships. And I think that's really important. And specifically when she's saying, you know, all her memories, she can't remember any good, you know, memories anymore. And, you know, she loves him, but she doesn't like him. And she knows he's a good man, but he's not a nice man. And to me, that waves a big red flag, because in abusive relationships, you can still love someone and yet be stuck in a really negative state that, as Ray said, won't actually change.
Because there are symptoms there of depression, Ray, aren't there? You know, stress and depression go hand in hand sometimes.
And I think that's why I say the thing about he clearly is drowning. But this is a tragedy in which one person is drowning. It doesn't need to be two or even more, because she has a genuine concern for how this is being role modelled onto the children. Yeah. I know we grew up in an Ireland where we were told that you had to stay together in the worst of relationships and marriages for the sake of the children. But that's not true. Children need to be looked after. And sometimes the way we look after our children is by looking after ourselves. And as Alison says, even just an anonymous phone call, a confidential phone call to Women's Aid, to know that you're not alone and nobody's going to push you to do something, but will invite you to have choices. Because as it stands, there is no choice.
OK, and we'll get that number for people before we finish up today. And I really hope that works out. OK, we have time for one more. Dear Ray and Alison, I'm going back to work after 15 years from being a homemaker and full-time parent to going out to restart a successful career I parked to raise my two children. My other half isn't too happy. While he accepts it's what I want to do and says he supports me, I don't believe he's being sincere and fear it's going to come between us. He works full time as well. How can I talk to him about this to make sure he is really okay with it? Ray.
Rather than talking with him to make sure he's really okay, just talk to him to see that he's not really okay and that he has his fears and his reservations and that their pattern of life is going to change. And it's okay if he's anxious about that or worried about that or obsessive about that. Meet him where he is rather than trying to meet him to being okay with it.
That's
okay if he's not okay.
That's very good advice, isn't it? Because have that chat. I know this is going to be difficult for us. I know this is going to upset a pattern we've developed for years now. But this is what I want to do. And let's talk about how we can make it work for both of us. That sort of thing, Alison.
I totally agree with Ray. And like, you're going in solution focused, but you're also going in and it's compassion focused. And you're validating, you know, his fears that things are going to actually change. And perhaps he already feels that, you know, things are busy as they are. But that doesn't mean things shouldn't change. But a conversation needs to be opened whereby they actually explore the different fears and look to how can we meet these face on together. And to kind of, as I said, validate the emotions that are coming up for him and work together to kind of create new dreams and hopes together as a couple. It could possibly, you know, be very exciting for her as well, because she parked a successful relationship career, and it's important for her to kind of get back to that. But they can do it together by creating this new shared meaning, this new kind of shared hopes and dreams in the future of where their family life is going.
Okay, and good luck in the return to your career. Now, Ray, thanks very much. Ray O'Neill, psychoanalyst.
Thank you.
Alison Keating, psychologist. Thank you. We'll talk again soon. Mind yourselves.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, bye, bye. And that number for Women's Aid, 1800 341 900. 1800 341 900. That's it from us for today. Cormac and Sarah are on the way. We are back tomorrow. 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.